To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep, and four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Today, I'm answering two questions from one mom. The first question is about talking to kids, and in this case particular, a toddler, about sexuality in age-appropriate ways. So yes, I'm going to be talking about sex and sexuality. Nothing more than I have shared with my own children when they were 4 and 5 years old, but I am going to be covering those topics. The other question is about helping kids to be more independent. Now, I'll read the first question from her and then answer that one, and then the second question in the second half of her email after the first. And her name is Carolina. Carolina says, "Hello, Erin. I recently discovered your podcast and I'm truly loving it. So many topics that I can relate to. I'm a mother of a 3-year-old working full-time and trying to manage work and family all together. And I actually have two questions that I hope you could help me with. The first one is about how to deal with my child's sexuality. I grew up with divorced parents and I didn't have any strong male presence in my life, so I'm not sure how to approach this issue. How are we supposed to proceed if my son wants to take a bath with me or if he sees me naked when changing my clothes and starts to question these things? He often asks the difference between boys and girls, and I'm not sure what the age-appropriate reply is." Great question. We all come up against these questions, and most of the times, parents are not prepared to answer. So, first, I'll go over some normal sexual behaviors in this age range, followed by some general guidelines for supporting healthy sexual development, and then I'll answer your questions specifically. While the largest portion of sexual development takes place in later childhood, young children do have an innate curiosity about their genitals and gender roles. So it's very important to know what is normal and how to deal with these normal behaviors so children can grow up with healthy sexual attitudes. So first, some normal sexual behaviors, and then I'll cover some ways to support the healthy sexual development. So This is just for this very young age group. Normal sexual behaviors from ages 2 to 3. Now, it's very common for toddlers to touch and manipulate their genitalia from 2.5 to 3 years of age. And actually, it's very common, so don't be alarmed at all or concerned if you see this behavior even earlier, as the touching of genital parts has been documented in early childhood and even before birth. There have been ultrasounds and pictures of babies in utero who are touching their genitals. Now, to kids, these are just another body part. Another normal behavior is viewing and touching their peers' genitalia and showing their genitalia to peers, also very common around these ages 2 to 3. Also around the age of 3, the role of gender identity typically forms. Now, this can be described as an individual sense of maleness or femaleness. However, socialization can also play a huge role in gender identity as well. An increased level of sexual interest that can manifest through pretend play, such as playing house or assuming other societal norms that we consider adult gender-specific roles. Now, children may engage in playing doctor and demonstrate an increased interest in the genitals of other children or adults. They're beginning to notice that there's a difference, so it's very common for them to notice and ask. Now, these behaviors, here's the big thing, are short, few, and distractible. I'll get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. Now I'm going to talk about some ways to support positive sexual development. First and foremost, always call their body parts by their specific names. This is penis and vagina. If you use silly or cutesy names, it sends that message of shame or that we can't be honest about sex and sexuality. So use the proper scientific terms, penis and vagina, when you're referring to your son or your daughter's genitalia. Also, it's very important to never shame a child over any sexual behavior. Do not act shocked, take a deep breath, and then handle it. And I'll give some ways to do that. When you see your child touching or playing with his or her genitals, give a gentle reminder. You could say something like, "I know it feels good to touch your penis, but that's something that we do in private." You can then offer your child to go to his or her room. This teaches your child that there's nothing wrong with it, but there is a better place and where that place is. Now, little kids, most of the time, will just stop and go on to something else. And this is where it falls into that distractible piece of normal that I mentioned earlier. Now, if your child does decide to go up to his or her room, it doesn't mean that that's not normal. But if you start seeing this happen quite frequently, or they're spending a lot of time in their room or a lot of time alone touching their genitalia, that's when it would be considered a red flag and time to look into getting an assessment or getting some help. Now, this air of openness and normalcy around the subject of sexuality is extremely important if you want your child to feel comfortable coming to you, not just about questions and issues around sex and sexuality, but around any tough subject, relationships, feelings, drugs, and alcohol. If we want to be our child's main source for information and guidance, we don't want to give our kids the idea that certain topics are up for discussion and others are taboo, and it's going to start with these early questions around sex and their body parts. I cover this and additional information about sexual development, including some red flags and how to deal with those, in the class called Your Developing Toddler. I also cover all the other areas of development, such as motor development, cognitive, social, emotional, and language development. Now, this class can be found on the website at yourvillageonline.com under the Development and Health section. I will also be adding these development classes for preschoolers, elementary age kids, and those are the kids ages 5 to 10, and also for adolescents, which is age 11 plus, in the coming month. So if you want to know when those come out, you could join our newsletter, and the pop-up shows up on our website to join the newsletter. Okay, so now to address Carolina's questions specifically. Now, kids are really very good about regulating their own comfort level and appropriateness of sexual conduct as they age. So the general rule is to let them be their own guide, if you can allow yourself to be comfortable with it. So when it comes to things like taking a bath or seeing you naked, these are perfectly acceptable, especially at the age of 3, but even far beyond that. And you will find that as your child ages, he or she, well, he for Carolina and anyone out there with a she, that your child will have no interest in bathing with you and eventually will most likely grow uncomfortable with seeing the other adults in the family or being seen by other family members when naked. If you are uncomfortable or just want your privacy, that's okay too. So for instance, I'm very open and I try to allow my children as much breadth with nudity as possible, but sometimes they just step over the line. I mean, when they were toddlers, I always let them follow me into the bathroom or come in when I was there, especially if I were the only adult at home. But every once in a while, my 8-year-old will still burst into the bathroom while I'm in there and ask something he's dying to ask. And I cut him off and I say, "Can I just use the bathroom in peace? Can this wait until I get out?" And then he'll go, "Oh, sorry, sorry." And he'll go back out of the bathroom, shut the door. Now, my husband and I are very dedicated to raising our kids, in addition to a lot of positive ways, in a sex positive home. So what does this mean? Sex positive means it's an environment where there's no shame about sex or sexuality, and that sex is seen as a natural and healthy part of life. Now, I was raised in a home where, as much as my mom tried, there was a lot of shameful messages around sex. Now, part of this, of course, was societal, but it was a taboo subject in our house, and I know she tried. Given that she was raised in the 50s and the early 60s, where no one talked about sex at all, ever, she really tried to be more open and progressive. But while she said things like, "You can ask me anything," the message I got was, "Just don't ask because I'm uncomfortable with it." Why? Because there was no lead by example. The explanations were done through watching a show or reading a book. We were often given books or magazines or newspaper articles to read. It was not a discussion. Now, this sent a strong message to me that we don't talk about this. My dad? Forget about it. I couldn't even imagine trying to approach him with anything. He would have probably turned beet red, mumbled about something he needed to get done, and disappeared for hours. So these were some messages that I got growing up, and this lead by example or modeling really sends some strong messages, so be careful about that. So what do you do if your kids ask questions? Well, what do you do when your kids ask questions? Because they are going to ask. You answer them to the best of your ability. If you don't know the answer, you can say, "That's a really good question, and I don't want to give you the wrong information, so let's go look it up." Children will generally not ask questions they're not ready to hear the answers to. And once they feel satisfied, they'll stop asking and move on to something else. Our twins were asking tons of questions at 5. My daughter asked lots of questions over probably a 1 to 2 month period. So one day we were cooking together and she was asking some questions. She got to the question about how babies get out of mommy. And I explained how this works. In very simple terms, she was 5, and I just said the baby comes out through the mommy's vagina. Her jaw dropped open, and that was the last question she asked that day. That was enough information for her at that time. Now, my 8-year-old hadn't asked a single question, and as a kid who tends to hang out with older kids, I knew he was going to start to hear things. I wanted to make sure he got the facts from me and not something less scientific from someone else first, so I actually approached him. He was not interested in hearing about it, so I just covered some basics and let him know when he has questions, his dad and I are always available. So if your toddler is asking about the difference between boys and girls, and this is a very common question, you could just say something like, "Boys and men have penises and girls and women have vaginas." Now you can add if you like that women and girls also have a uterus, and so when a girl grows up to be a woman, she can carry babies, but men do not. Now, I know a lot of parents are really afraid to answer these beginning questions because they're afraid that more questions may come down the line, and they may. So just be ready and be honest. For many children, this will be enough for a while, and for others, they may ask more probing questions. So again, just be ready and be honest. If you feel like the questions are getting too technical or above their head, you can just say, "You know what, we're getting into some really deep detail that I'm not sure you're really going to understand. So let's talk about this some more another day." And I had to do that with Chandler once. He was asking some really technical questions, and I know all the answers, but he was 5. And I just felt like talking about ovulation and the sperm and the whole thing was an awful lot of information, but he's very scientifically minded. So I kept answering more and more questions, but he was getting pretty technical, and I felt like, I'm sure now he doesn't even remember any of it, but... Okay, when we come back after the break from our sponsor, Kind Bars, I will answer Carolina's second question about helping her son learn to be more independent.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Now for Carolina's second question about independence. She says, I know you already have several podcasts related to this, but I'm not sure any of them has to do with my specific case. My son is very attached to me and my husband. He is a very kind little boy that needs a lot of physical contact. He is very keen on asking for help, and it's almost impossible to convince him to play alone. The only way that I can manage to make dinner or wash the dishes is if he's watching television. He often asks for help for things that we, me and him, know he can do by himself, and he starts to cry if we don't help him. Thanks a lot for the great job you're doing on helping desperate parents. All right, Carolina, I don't think you're desperate. I think these are great questions, and every parent, I think every day, probably comes up against something that they don't quite know how to handle. So I love that you sent in these questions. So you're right, Carolina, I don't think I have anything addressing this specifically. So I'm going to start by introducing a term, and I've mentioned it briefly before in other podcasts, but this is a concept I've been meaning to create a class on and have not been able to get to it yet. I will though. And this term is scaffolding. Scaffolding is a term used in education, and it applies to education and teaching kids independence in the same way as it does for a building. It's a support structure that we create for a child as they work on strengthening their skills. Now, in the educational sense, it's for them learning the skills like writing, sounding out words, math concepts. But it can also be used to support a child emotionally. So your son is feeling unsure about doing things on his own. So when you are available to help, you will scaffold the process, helping, guiding, coaching, and asking questions. What should I do with this puzzle piece? Or what should I do with this block? Help me count out 2 beads. Then slowly back away to having him do more and more on his own. Also during this process, you want to use positive reinforcement. If you know he's struggling with doing something independently, then give positive feedback every time he does. You counted out the 10 beads all on your own. That's very independent. You put the blocks away all on your own. That's very independent. This lets him know that independence is an important skill, that it's a skill that you like to see, and it labels him as such, as independent. He soon starts to see himself this way and will want to do more and more things independently. Now, what happens when you're trying to get dinner on the table or trying to wash some dishes and he's bugging you to help him with a puzzle or a coloring or whatever? It's okay to say no and to let him know that you have other duties you need to attend to at that moment. Now, you can give him a choice. He can either work on the puzzle on his own, or he can come and help you with dinner or the dishes. If you think he's going to get in the way rather than be helpful, it's totally okay to give him a job that doesn't really need done. So if you're cooking, you can give him a piece of bread to break up into pieces. You could give him a butter knife and a cooked vegetable like a carrot or a potato for him to chop up, whatever. Okay, but what if he cries and pushes back? What if he doesn't want to help with dinner? He doesn't want to help take a dish and dry it off or stick it in the dishwasher, and he just wants help with that puzzle right now? It's okay. I know we don't like to see our kids upset, but once they hit toddlerhood, it's okay to let them be upset. It's a part of life, and it's learning that we can't always get what we want. The earlier kids learn this, the easier it will be for them. So it's better for them to learn to deal with this discomfort while we are there to empathize. I can see you're sad that I can't help you with your coloring right now. We can color together tomorrow. Or you could also say, you're welcome to come and help me with dinner. Let me know if you change your mind. If he chooses to cry and be upset, that is his choice, and it's okay, and actually important to let him work through that. This is an important life skill called coping. We all need to learn to cope with these disappointments in life, these ups and downs, and when things don't always go our way, and it starts right here during these toddler years. Now, next week, I'm going to be covering the topic of educational toys and educational play. So just in time for the holidays, if you're trying to think of some great things to get for your kids or any nieces or nephews, any other kids in your life, I'm going to have a great list of toys from infants all the way through adolescents for great toys that are engaging, fun, and they can learn from them. If you have a parenting question you would like answered, please send them to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.